Could you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you war evil a victory when there is wonderful power in the blood?
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There is wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
Your King, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
On this program today, I will teach on the inspiration and the revelation of Scripture, because we can clearly see in these confusing times, many people have no idea what to expect in the future. Many are confused because they have neglected to read Scripture on the end times. They figured this is the end. We're going to be in a socialist country for the rest of our existence. I want to say this to those who are not quite convinced in their heart that things are going to get better. God is not mocked. He looks at the human race and He sees how they try to overtake the world system. And in Psalm chapter 2, the Bible teaches us He's in heaven and He throws back His head and He laughs. We know that throughout the last 2,000 years, we had some despots that have tried to take over the world system. We know the latest one was Hitler. He tried to bring in a one world government. And they understood, the elites of the world that understood that they have failed. I want to give you something to think about. By the time World War II broke out, before that, Germany was completely broke. They had no money. People, the rest of the countries had to help them. Then all of a sudden, somehow, they got some finances to finance themselves into the biggest army and the strongest army that ever existed, to the point where they nearly brought the world to their knees. Where did that money come from? It didn't come from Germany. It was given to them by the elites who had the idea that they were going to bring in a one world government. Well, through the Allies, the Lord God pushed them back. Now again, prematurely, they're trying to bring in a one world government. And guess what is happening? We can hear it all over already on Facebook, on social media. When you listen to what's going on in America, these elitists, these one world globalists, they're starting to be pushed back. It's coming out everywhere. They're being exposed all over the place. And we need to understand within the next few months, we're going to see some radical changes on this planet. And it's going to be changes for the better. Those who have been trying to bring in a one world government are going to be exposed and they're going to be defeated. And those that have been speaking out for God and seeking God, they will be vindicated. So we need to understand these. I've studied these things over the years and I kind of know how things are going to take place. The only difference is I did not know how people would react. So we're heading for this time. I'm kind of showing you through prophecy, not prophecy really, but through studying the Bible and studying the world system. God has clearly revealed what's going to take place. And I want to speak to the believer today. How is your walk with God? Is God a judge to you? Is that all he is? Or is he an Abba Father, a father that you can enjoy and have fellowship with? Today I'll teach on this. And how do you study scripture? Are they there for your information, for your instruction? Are you seeking God through scripture? Are you looking at the world system through scripture? Are you looking at what's going on around you through scripture? Do you see the plan of God? Or are you looking at the natural and you see very clearly in your own mind that there is no hope? Well, today I will give you hope. You can watch, you can listen, you can see. You hear the rumblings of God bringing justice to this earth one more time. For you see, the tribulation is not yet. The tribulation, the mark of the beast, even though they're trying their best to bring it forth, it's not yet. The time will come when Jesus Christ himself will loosen the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And then the 7-year tribulation will begin. And that will be cut down to 3.5 years because half of the tribulation will be a person, the Antichrist, trying to befriend the world around him. So today I want to teach on some interesting subjects. But before I get into it, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. And I ask you, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the signs of the times. I thank you for your grace. And I ask you to anoint this message. You will bless the listener. Open their heart to what's going on. I thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16, it tells us, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So we can study scriptures and trust that God wants us to know the truth. He is not somebody who's going to play tricks on us. If we study the Word of God, he will clearly open our hearts to the truth if we want the truth. That's where a problem comes in sometimes. People don't want the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear, and they want to see what they want to see. I want to see truth, regardless how it goes against my agenda. I do actually not have an agenda except to follow the Lord and to be one of his spokesmen. It says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instructions in righteousness. We know what righteousness is. Every person on this planet knows what righteousness is. We have to understand the laws that the governments are passing is not righteousness. It's very confusing to many people today. Like the other day, I heard that a transgender, that's a man pretending to be a woman, was going to be a weightlifter in the Olympics. And I wrote my opinion down on Facebook when it popped up. I told him if a dog could give his opinion on that idea, he would laugh himself silly. Dogs, animals, have more brains today than human beings. It's unbelievable how unwise. The Bible teaches us they will count themselves wise and they become fools. They have completely rejected the instructions of God on what righteousness is. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it tells us, he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I would study these scriptures throughout the years because I became a Christian through studying the Word of God. The revelation was given to me while I was reading the Word of God. And I was wondering, why do I need a prophet? Why do I need a teacher? Why do I need an evangelist? Well, in many cases, I do not understand what Scripture is talking about. So I have to depend on the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher. There are teachers, evangelists, and pastors and prophets in this world today. And I depend on them. Yes, I ask the Lord to make sure they're for real. I check out their idea on salvation. And here is what God has shown me. If I reject their teachings, the spirit of revelation that they have on themselves, if I reject their teaching, it'll just simply go back to them. But if I do accept it, then God will open my heart and my mind further to further truths than even they have. That's how it works. They give you a little bit of a revelation, and when you accept it, God will continue it in you if you seek His wisdom. I, for instance, have believed in the prophet all my life. I've studied them. I've listened to them. I know Ezekiel prophesied that the northern armies are going to come to try to destroy Jerusalem. And I know for a fact that's going to come to pass. It's written in Scripture. So if the prophets in those days are going to be right, the prophets of today are going to be right. The Bible teaches we need to check out their prophecy. And when I watch the world system, I hear the prophets of what's going on today. And God is showing them that things will turn around, that God is not finished. There's got to be a great harvest yet before the great tribulation. Then I tend to believe those prophets. I listen to quite a few of them. They all speak the same words, basically. And we know for a fact it lines up with Scripture. So it gives you hope on what's going to come tomorrow. This is why we need to listen to the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle, and the teacher, because they're there to edify you, to build up your faith, to show you what's going to happen. So this is why I'm at ease. This is why I'm at peace, because God has shown me the future. Not only has He shown me how these things will end, He has also shown me how things will lead on in these troubled and confusing times. So we need to listen to those people because they're there to teach and to bless us. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Follow after charity and spirit and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Listen to this. God wants you to prophesy. He says, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. This is what a prophet is supposed to do. He's supposed to bring comfort to the people of God. In the Old Testament, there were many false prophets. The children of Israel were into worshiping idols. Everybody was against God. And they had false prophets there who told them things are going to continue like it always was. Everything's going to be good. And they had to find out the false prophets were lying to them. But they also had good prophets who showed them how things really were going to take place. This is the same thing today. I believe the prophets are teaching us that many, many people here on this earth are crying out to God for him to turn things around, and God is listening. It's not like the whole world is running after Satan like they will be doing in the tribulation. There are many, many mothers and fathers and older people who are crying out for God to do something. And God is not deaf. He will listen and he will bring righteousness because this is his promise. He will show us that he will have mercy one more time before the great tribulation will begin. So we need to believe in the prophets. We need to believe in the apostles and those teachers and preachers who prophesy and tell us that there's a great harvest coming and we have to be ready for it. Yes, God wants us to understand that we are in a very, very critical time. The power of the Holy Spirit will be poured out on this planet, and a mighty harvest will be brought in. The Bible teaches a short work will he make on this earth. And if this world would be plunged into the tribulation like it is now, they would not have a chance. Throughout the years, I have asked myself a question. During the tribulation, they will not believe in evolution. During the tribulation, they will not say there is no God. Why is that? It is because just before the tribulation, the power of God will be so strong that people will know that there is a God. The idea of evolution will fly out the window. Yes, many will still hate God and keep on to their unrighteousness, but many, many will see the truth and turn to Jesus because God will open their eyes. There are many, many religious organizations that are trying to serve God, and they are basically missing the mark. But one of these days soon, God will open their eyes. He will open their ears to the truth of what's going on. And many will turn to Jesus. So we can have faith in that. That is going to happen. So let us open our heart to this and look forward to a great revival that will soon come upon this planet. I pray that these things will catch your attention. It'll be a blessing to you, and you will become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
When the man of Galilee hung upon the cruel tree, he was dying for sinners like me. As the blood from the cross onto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross onto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. When they pierced his precious side, oh, forgive them now, he cried. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood and water came, glory to his precious name. And that one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross onto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. When with all the saints I stand over in that happy land, and its beauties I'm able to see, as I look upon his face, I shall thank him for his grace, and that one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross onto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. There was one drop he shed just for me.
On this part of the program, I will teach a little bit on who the Father is, who God the Father is. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 18, it tells us, "To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." That is a very interesting statement made by Scripture on who God is. But God is also a kind and a heavenly Father. He is a God that the child could come to in total trust, totally trusting, and even playing with the Father, or even whatever the child wants. He knows that the Father, in many cases, will allow him to get away with things that he shouldn't. That's how a father sometimes is. And many of God's children know that. That's why they're so free in their hearts and their lives. But we have to understand, God is also a God. He is a Father. He will provide for all our needs. And he is also a God that is the judge of the universe. That's the way I view my Heavenly Father. He's somebody I can trust. He's somebody that I can turn to when I'm in trouble. He's somebody that will give me all my needs regardless where I am and what my needs are. He is my Father. And at the same time, I see him as a righteous judge that will not allow unrighteousness to continue. That's why I look at the world system and I can see the unrighteousness. And I know he's the God of all people and he will not allow unrighteousness to continue. Look at the relationship between Jesus and his Father. In Mark chapter 14 in verse 35, it tells us that's just before the crucifixion. Jesus was in the Garden of Eden. And when he went forward a little bit, it says he fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. So Jesus knew that his Father would even allow him to turn away from the cross, if it would be possible, if there was another way. And he asked his Father, is there another way? And then he said, Abba, Father. That tells us of a very close relationship. The word Abba tells us of a very close relationship with the Father. He says, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. He said, take away this cup from me. He knew his Father would grant it to him. And then he quickly said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wills. Is that how we operate with our Father, or are we selfish? When we have a Father that is loving and kind, I know in this world, many children take advantage of their Father's love. And a lot of time it brings terrible consequences. And also, I have to interject here, there are many children who do not know a Father. There are many fathers who molest their children, and that is a horrible, horrible thing to do. And God will recompense. But at the same time, I want to say this. If you turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, that Father will forgive you. Even if you failed as a father, the Heavenly Father will forgive you if you turn to him by faith and ask for forgiveness. The only problem is, hopefully, fathers will be able to forgive themselves. So he is a father that you can rejoice in, that you can sometimes manipulate. He's also a father that will provide for your needs. He will provide your needs. But at the same time, he's also a God that will judge and that judges righteously. Jesus understood that. And that's why he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And scripture teaches us that we have the same power with God. Listen to this in Romans chapter 8. It tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Bible teaches us that we can, like Jesus, turn to him and say, if it's possible, let this pass from me. But not my will, we should say, but thy will be done. For the Father knows best. And then it tells us, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore we are no more servants, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is who our Father is. He is a God, he's a Father that we can rejoice. He's a God, a Father that we can enjoy. He will spend time with us. And like the Bible says, we can even manipulate him. But we need to understand that what he knows is right and what he does is best for us. Just like Jesus, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not thy will. Not my will, but thy will be done. And at the same time, we need to understand he's the God and the judge of the universe, and he will judge righteously. So open your heart to those incredible truths and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.